صافي سيدي المكمل في الملعب بليز كمبلي ذا سيرش ليت ان روز في لينا جابس.
الله اكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. يسأله من في السماوات والأرض كل يوم هو في شأن فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. سنفرغ لكم أيها الثقلان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. يا معشر الجن والإنس إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. يرسل عليكما شواظ من نار ونحاس فلا تنتصران. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. فإذا انشقت السماء فكانت وردة كالدهان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. فيومئذ لا يسأل عن ذنبه إنس ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان يعرف المجرمون بسيماهم فيؤخذ بالنواصي والأقدام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان هذه جهنم التي يكذب بها المجرمون يطوفون بينها وبين حميم آن فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم لك الشكر وحسن عبادتك اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد برحمتك
It's for Brother Sule's collection. It's for a Darul Uloom in India called Jamia Ashraful Uloom. There are 500 boys and 300 girls studying in this Darul Uloom. They also run Islamic school with 500 students studying there, and also 100 maktabs, small madrasas, they are running under this Jamia Darul Uloom. Please donate generously with your zakat, sadqat, and lillah donations. If you would like to sponsor a student in Hafiz class, the cost is £130 per year. Please donate generously. Jazakallah. And inshallah, after the remaining salah, the tafsir of Amma Para will be continuing. Please participate in the bayan. Jazakallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest man to walk on the face of this earth, our beloved master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of the greatest man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon us, that today we have the honor of listening to the teachings of the Holy Quran. Today we will continue with Surah Takathur. Last week we covered the first few verses of the surah, and inshallah, this week we will complete this surah. The last thing that we spoke about was the levels of yaqeen, the levels of conviction. And we mentioned that Abu Bakr al-Warraq rahimahullah said, the yaqeen, when you are sure about something, when you have belief in something, when you have conviction of something, for yaqeen there are three levels. The first level is yaqeen al-khabr. And that is that someone who is trustworthy, they tell you something, they give you some information, and because you believe them, you trust them, you accept this information, this news, and you believe it to be true. The second level is yaqeen al-dalala. And this is when, along with the information, they also give you evidence. So your belief and your conviction in this thing increases a little. And the third level, and the strongest and highest level of yaqeen, is yaqeen al-mushahada. Like the famous Arab saying, لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَيَنَ. And this is when you physically see something with your own eyes. That's the highest level. Because there can be no doubt when you see in it. You can have all the evidence in the world, but actually seeing something with your own eyes is takes things to the highest level. Amazingly, the ulama of tafsir have quoted some lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, رَأَيْتُ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارَ حَقِيقَةً. He says that one lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, I saw Jannah and I saw Jahannam in reality. قِيلَ لَهُ وَكَيْفَ. He said, it was said to him, how did you manage to see Jannah and Jahannam? That's in the Akhirah. He said, قَالَ رَأَيْتُهُمَا بِعَيْنَي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He says, I saw them through the eyes of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَرُؤْيَتِي لَهُمَا بِعَيْنَيْهِ آثَرَ إِنِّي مِنْ رُؤْيَتِي لَهُمَا بِعَيْنِي. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing Jannah and Jahannam, and it's a slight reference here to the journey of Mi'raj. His seeing is more effective than my own eyes. He says that فَإِنَّ بَصَرِي قَدْ يَطْغَى وَيَزِيغُ بِخَلَافِ بَصَرِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He says, my eyes, they can make mistakes. But the news that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave, there cannot be a mistake in that. He says, my own eyes can deceive me. But the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم cannot be incorrect. So this is the level of loyalty, the level of belief and yaqeen that we are supposed to have. This is the level that the Sahaba were at, where if they saw something with their own eyes, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said something different, they would believe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam over their own self. That's how much belief they had in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is also the kind of level of belief and yaqeen that we should have in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith. Nowadays what happens is, we see a hadith, we hear a hadith that is contrary to our feelings. We see a hadith that is contrary to what we want. So we go and look for another hadith. No, there's another hadith. And then you say, oh look, I found a hadith. Why are you doing this for? It's because I found a hadith. That's why I'm acting upon this hadith. No, you're not acting upon the hadith. You're acting upon your own desires and your whims. And very closely related to this is also what's become known as this very important point, slightly going off on a tangent. But some people call it, what we call it, fatwa fishing, where a person, he has an issue, he has a dilemma, and from the two things, the options he has, he wants to go a certain way. But he's unsure whether this thing, this option of his is permissible, or he knows that it's not really permissible, but let's try and get some validation here. So they go to one mufti, and he says, no, it's wrong. Then they go to another one, and then a third one, and a fourth one. And finally, they'll find someone, and they'll say, yeah, you know, if your intention is like this, and if you think about this, then it should be okay. And then the person says, oh, what I'm doing is permissible. No. Why you, when the first time you were told that this is what Sharia says, you should have accepted it. This is not following Sharia. This is following your desires. There's one person, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him a question, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him an answer, but the person didn't like the answer. So he went to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and he asked the same question. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and gave the same answer as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he didn't like the answer. So he went to Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And he said to Umar radiallahu ta'ala that I have this question. I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. They said this answer, but I'm not sure. That's why I've come to you. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was a man of action, you know. So he said, you went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and you didn't believe the answer. He said, yeah, that's right. So he goes, you come to me. He goes, okay, just wait here. He went in his house. He came out with his sword and he beheaded him. The munafiq. You're going against the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're going against Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. You're not Muslim. You're munafiq. Yeah, so we don't want to be included in this category. So it's very, very important for us to take a very high level of precaution in this. We should be careful that we are not following our whims and desires. And instead, we should look towards that which has come to us through our ulama, through our imams, through the scholars. And we should behave according to what they teach us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. A tangent, but a slightly important tangent as well. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. Most certainly, this lamb over here is for emphasis. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. Most certainly, you will see the blazing fire. Who will see the blazing fire? In the previous session, we discussed about those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing, Al-Hakum wa Takathur. Those people who got distracted by the world, by competitiveness in wealth, who got distracted away from the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. Most certainly you will see the blazing fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ. Then most certainly you will see it with the eye of certainty. Again, we have already discussed عَيْنُ الْيَقِينِ. First, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. This is indicating to the warnings that have reached us from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ. This is referring to when the disbelievers are facing Jahannam. They are looking Jahannam in the eye. They are entering into Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing that scene. Again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from coming anywhere near the fire of Jahannam. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ, most certainly you will be questioned, يَوْمَئِذٍ, on that day, يعني, the day of Qiyamah, عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, regarding the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Regarding this, questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned regarding humanity being questioned on the day of Qiyamah regarding the blessings, there is one group of scholars who have said that this questioning is specifically for the disbelievers. And they take certain verses as evidence which seem to indicate وَهَلْ نُجَازِي إِلَّا الْكَفُورِ, that we will only recompensate and we will only punish the disbelievers. And then they take this punishment to be the questioning on the day of Qiyamah. However, majority of the scholars say that the questioning regarding blessings on the day of Qiyamah will be for all humanity, Muslims and non-Muslims. However, the type of questioning will be slightly different. The Muslims being questioned, they will be questioned that did you do shukr and were you thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these blessings? That will be our line of questioning. Allah gave you all these blessings. Yes, we believe in Allah and we believe that Allah gave us these blessings, but it is our duty to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these blessings. And the disbelievers, their questioning will be more on a level of reprimanding. That look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you all these blessings, yet you still didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the questioning will be for everybody. But the line of questioning will differ between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Then we look into what kind of questions will be asked of us on the day of Qiyamah. So the ulama say that there will be many, many different things that will be questioned. For example, some examples that are given is Al-Amn. We'll be questioned about peace, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to live in peace. There are people in the world, they can't live in peace. Look at the people of Gaza. Now, even the people of Lebanon, there are so many innocent civilians being killed as we speak. They are not living in Amman. We have been given Amman. We can walk out onto the road without any security, without guns, without knives, without fear. And we can walk down the street, you know, we can walk with our children. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us aman. So this will be questioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us regarding this. It's a blessing. Wasuha. Allah will ask us regarding good health. Allah will ask us regarding food and drink and things like this. In another narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us regarding our houses. That Allah, that I gave you a house, I gave you shelter. You know, what did you do? Shukr. How did you use these? How did you utilize these blessings that I gave you? In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kullu na'imin famas'oolun anhu illa na'imun fi sabilillahi." My Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, an amazing point, amazing hadith. Every single blessing will be questioned, فَمَسْؤُولٌ أَنْهُ will be questioned, except for those blessings that you were given when you were out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you were in the path of Allah, cow people, no problem. You know, sometimes you go to jama'ah, and I always find whenever I don't go too often, may Allah give me more tawfiq, but whenever I have been, subhanallah, amazing food, you know, people giving dawats, left, right, center. Even the most simple food, just normal, you know, rice dish. Some of the most simple food, when you're in jama'ah, it just tastes so amazing. These are blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they won't even be questioned about. وأكل صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما مع أصحابه رطبا وشربوا عليه ماء فقال لهم هذا من النعيم الذي تسألون عنه. One day my Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام, he went with a group of Sahaba to one of the Sahabi's houses, and together with the owner of the house, the Sahaba and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, they sat and they ate fresh dates. And they drank water and they enjoyed themselves. They were hungry. At the end of the meal, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, these are the kind of blessings that you will be questioned about. These are the kind of blessings you will be questioned about. In this regard, the obvious point also is that the most authentic narration is that all of the blessings will be questioned about. We will be questioned regarding all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Other examples that are given by the ulama are cold water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I gave you cool water when you felt thirsty. Flour, roti, sweet tasting water, all food items. Free time, another example that's given is free time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I gave you all these years. How did you use them? How did you thank me with regards to this? In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala, and he says, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la tazulu qadam ibn Adam yawm al-qiyamah من عند ربه حتى يسأل عن خمس. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the feet of mankind, of Ibn Adam, will not even move from in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala حتى يسأل عن خمس, until he is questioned about five things. And عمره فيما أفناه, regarding his age, his years, where did he waste them? Where did he use them? وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه, regarding his youth, where did he wear it away? وعن ماله من أين اكتسب وفيما أنفقه. And then he says that the third question and the fourth question will be regarding his wealth. Where did you earn your money from and where did you spend it? Halal income is very, very, very important. We will question regarding this. We have to be careful that we don't become involved in haram transactions, haram business deals that include interest, that include insurance, gambling, anything that is close to haram. You know, we eat from the money that we earn. This is one hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, he says that Ibn Adam, he raises his hands and he says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. He says, وأكله حرام وشربه حرام أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. He says, Ibn Adam, he stands and he prays and he makes dua and he says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, and he makes this dua and he makes this dua. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothes is haram. How, where will this dua be accepted? Yeah, so we always complaining, oh, my du'as don't get accepted. Look at your a'mal first. Look at our a'mal. Is my wealth even halal? You know, I'm putting food inside my body, but is this food halal? Is my earnings halal? Then you have to look at the whole picture. And then finally, and wafima anfaqahu, where did he spend this? Did he spend it in haram? Did he spend it in halal? We should pay zakat. We should give sadaqah to purify our wealth. وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ فِي مَا عُلِمَ. And what, and to what degree and to what extent did he act upon his knowledge? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon the knowledge that we have been given. And to wrap up, a few other ahadith narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are three things that I will not question my servant about, and I will question him regarding everything else. Three things that I will not question my servant about, and shukrihinna, due to him doing shukr about this, or regarding, sorry, I will not question, la asalu abdi an shukrihin, I will not question my slave regarding their shukr for three things, and I will question everything else. The three things are his house that he was given shelter, the food that he ate, and the clothes that he wore. Besides, that's according to one hadith. Other hadith seem to indicate that even these things, the food and the clothes that we wear, we will be questioned regarding this as well. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And finally, Sahal ibn Abdullah al-Tastari rahimahullah says that how can we truly thank Allah for the blessings that He has given? He says that to don't use the blessings that we have been given in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use the blessings we have been given in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest form of thanking Allah for these blessings. For example, we want to thank Allah for the clothes. So we say, Ya Allah, you have given me clothes. I'm using these clothes to fulfill your commandment of covering my awrah, of covering my satr. Ya Allah, you have given me food. I eat food and I get energy. And with this energy, I fulfill the hukuk, the rights of my family and my friends and my associates And I fulfill your hukuk and your rights by worshipping you. Things like this. And he says that every single born in our body is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't use them to disobey him. And then finally, there are some other opinions as well regarding the questioning of the blessings. Other examples that have been given. One of them that has not been mentioned, this is according to Mujahid. He says that even we will even be questioned about the sleep, ladhatun naum. You know the beauty sleep that we have sometimes? People can't sleep. You can't sleep sometimes. It's so difficult. Tossing and turning all night. Ask the person who can't sleep at night what he would give to get one good night's sleep. You know that sleep when you go to sleep and you're gone and you wake up in the morning at Fajr time. According to Mujahid, we will even be questioned regarding this, that you were given such beauty sleep. You know, we will be questioned regarding, did you do shukr as well? And finally, the last final thing we'll mention regarding questioning on the day of Qiyamah. In one hadith of Bukhari Sharif, narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every person whose hisab will be taken, they will be punished. Man husiba halaka hulika, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, what about the verse when Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. The people who will be given the book in their right hand, they will be given a حِسَابِ يَسِيرًا, easy accounting. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذَاكَ الْعَرَضُ. This is just, you know, when you are going past. فَمَنْ حُوسِبَ عُذِّبَ. Whoever's accounting will be taken, they will be punished. And in the explanation of this hadith, I remember my respected Ustaz Sheikh Abdul Rahim, Damat Barakatuhum, he mentioned that how it will be on the day of Qiyamah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call people. And some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call them forward and, you know, he'll take their book of deeds, and he just, you know, flick through it. Okay, go. It's okay. You go to Jannah. It's your right. You know, like a teacher sometimes, if they know that the student is good, tick and flick. Yeah, they get the book, they look through it. Yeah, it looks okay. Ja, go. And sometimes, one student has been misbehaving, and, you know, he needs, his MOT needs to be done. So the teacher says, all right, come here, sit down. Opens the first page, right? You made a mistake here. Why did you make this mistake? This is what it means by husiba, whose account will be taken. And for some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do this. He will call them and say, okay, on this day, you missed your namaz. Why? At this time, you looked at something haram. Why? What answer are we going to give on the day of Qiyamah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hisabi. See, we do not want to be questioned. We will never survive the questioning of Allah azza wa jal. That's why we should pray the dua that was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma hasibna hisaba yaseera. Allahumma hasibna hisaba yaseera. Allahumma hasibna hisaba yaseera. This is the only way that we will get through and we will survive on the day of Qiyamah. It's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all sinful and we will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this. But it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will survive that frightful, frightful day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a husni khatima and hisabi yaseer and make us from those who are close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding and love for the Holy Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanahu.